Chapter 11 again. And I will add this, it'll go on the tape and most folk will know, have no idea where it's coming from, but this is why I have made statements along this line before. This is why I say, these people right here, this is my concern.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And when it comes to everybody else out there, that's not my responsibility. It's not my concern. It's not that I don't care about other folks in other places. But my responsibility is not to even other local assemblies.
Right.
Earl, that's not my responsibility. It's to you here. And that's not something I just read in the Bible and I see it's there. That's something we all know by experience. We've been through it together.
Yes, sir.
And we've been on the high places, and we, as a group or as individuals, have been in the really low places too.
Yeah.
But we've been through it together. By God's grace, we'll continue that until either he comes or we die. One or the other. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says there are false apostles, right?
Yes, sir.
For such are false apostles. They are first defined as what? Deceitful workers.
Yes, sir.
There are people in this world who will use the word of God deceitfully. They use the word of God to prove their own point. And they can do it when they do it deceitfully.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now we've been looking at false doctrine, not simply for the sake of looking at false doctrine. We're not here to simply in some academic study of false doctrine. We're talking about what men say as opposed to what God's word says. And again, let me give it to you. If nothing else sticks, if we can get a hold of this, it'll, I believe, help a little, that all false doctrine has this one common denominator. It ascribes to God or creation that which God does not ascribe to himself or creation in Scripture. If a person says, well, let me tell you what I think, that's all well and good. But it may not be right. It doesn't matter what we think.
Exactly.
If a person says, well, here's how I feel. Mm-hmm. I don't care. No, I don't care. You know, because feelings are that, feelings.
Yeah.
They go up and down with the wind, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with feelings. Because there's things in this book that hurt my feelings. You know? God says you're less than the small dust of the balance. Well, that surely don't make me feel good. But that's what God says.
Yes.
Right? There is false doctrine out there. I don't feel that. Or someone says, I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They may be right. They may not can see it that way.
Exactly.
But it doesn't change the truth of this book. If they're blind, they're blind.
Yeah.
And the reason they're blind is because our daddy sinned in the garden.
Yes, sir.
He rebelled against God. He's the only man that was on the good side to begin with and fell to the bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
He said, God said of him, it's good. Right?
Yes, sir.
Said of him and Eve, they're good. But Adam failed. He knowingly, willingly rebelled against God. And when he did, he fell from all spiritual ability.
Yes, sir.
And we don't fall.
No.
We don't fall. We didn't fall.
No.
We fail in him.
Yes, sir.
We're born fallen. We're conceived fallen.
Yeah.
Born fallen. We live fallen. As I said before, the fall is Adam's fault. I'm born a sinner because Adam sinned in that garden. Had nothing to do with anything I would be, could be, should be. I was conceived and born in sin because my daddy sinned in the garden. But all men outside of Christ, will be judged according to their own works.
Yes, sir.
See, Adam's fall didn't send me to hell. It just made me fit fodder for hell. That's what it did. Adam's fall condemned me to be born a sinner. In my own personal sins, outside of Christ, my own personal sins just adds fodder to that flame. Now again, remember, false doctrine. I won't go through them, but I'll repeat the ones we've looked at so far. False doctrine, when speaking of human nature, quotes something like Matthew 6:26 rather than Isaiah 40:15. False doctrine, when speaking of acceptance before God, quotes something like Hebrews 6:10, or probably more likely something like 2 Corinthians 5:6-11 rather than Ephesians 1:3-6. False doctrine, when speaking of the love of God, quotes John 3:16 rather than that one verse in Romans 9 where God says, I hated somebody.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And somebody again, I ask the question, somebody says, which one is true? They're all true.
Yes, sir.
But the problem is, these deceitful workers say John 3:16 is correct. Romans 9, and what is that verse? I can't remember the exact verse. Romans 9:13 doesn't really mean what it says.
Yeah.
Even in some versions, it says, it's quoted this way or interpreted this way, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I loved less. But that's not the way the Apostle Paul wrote it. I don't even know that there is a Greek word for loved less. I don't know that there is one. There may be. But that's not the word. The word means hated.
Yes, sir.
I loved Jacob. I hated Esau. Somebody said, how could God do that? How could God not do that when you recognize who Esau was? As many have said before, it's not something I came up with. Once God begins to show you what you really are by nature, what we all are by nature, what we are in our Daddy Adam's sin, and what we are in ourselves. The amazing thing is not that God could hate Esau. The amazing thing is that he could love Jacob. That's the amazing thing. We're not offended that he hated Esau. He's got the right to hate Esau. We're simply awestruck by the fact that he would love Jacob.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing. But it's amazing how the natural mind,
yes,
someone who's never known the grace of God, who looks at that verse and says, at least in their heart and mind, I don't like that. If that's who God is, I don't want that. What most people do, rather than being honest enough to say, well, if that's who God is, I won't have him. They say it doesn't mean that. There's a deeper explanation here. And usually their deeper explanation is something less offensive to man,
yeah,
and more dishonoring to God.
Exactly.
And remember, one way to tell between a false prophet and a true prophet, or a false teacher and a true teacher, the true teacher will exalt the righteousness of God Almighty imputed to sinful men. The false teacher will preach the righteousness of men accepted by God. That's the difference. Somewhere along the lines, that will be the telling tale. That it'll be the tale between God accepts me based on what I've done, or as opposed to God accepts me because he was pleased to. Now Scripture said he didn't just accept us in the Beloved. He made us accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
I say to every one of you here this morning that are my brothers and sisters in Christ, you are accepted of God.
Yes, sir.
Period.
Amen.
Period. I mean, that's it. Not just, it wasn't in light of something you would be. It was in spite of what you would be.
Exactly.
And now, you're still accepted of God in spite of what you still are.
Amen. That's it.
And anything that you have that is of value, God gave it to you.
Yes, sir.
But he doesn't accept you based on that.
Exactly.
He gave you what he has given you because he has accepted you.
Sure.
The acceptance comes first. And we even have some, what you call Calvinistic preachers or grace preachers, who preach only of acceptance or reconciliation or justification based upon your response to the gospel of free reigning grace. And I'm here to say that God has accepted his people, and they're accepted even if they're an Arminian.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's exactly right.
Because he accepted us, he made us accepted in the beloved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now at that time I was neither Arminian or Calvinist. I was nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't exist.
Exactly.
And that election still stood when I was in the midst of Arminianism.
Yeah.
And I was as much his then as I am right now.
Amen.
God looked on me, no more favorably now in Christ than he did when I was back there preaching free will lies. Because my acceptance before him was not based on anything in me. This is something that some of our grace brethren, that's one of them things they need to get rid of.
Yeah.
Is this self-righteousness in preaching the gospel of free grace. Now granted, Scripture does teach that God will call us out from among them,
yes,
doesn't
sir.
It?
Yeah.
But how far have we really come?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Some of us have come further than others, right? Did not our Lord Jesus Christ even say that there is, when that good seed falls on good ground,
yes, sir.
It brings forth 100-fold. Is that what it says? Mm-mm. Now this might not be the exact amounts, but some 30, some 40, some 60, right?
Yes, sir.
We all don't bring forth the same fruit. For the same amount. No, false doctrine will in some way seek to exalt man above that which God has put him or declared him to be in Scripture. And it will somehow try to bring God down a little lower.
Yeah.
They preach things or say things like, well, you're going to have to get under the sound of the gospel. No, see, what they ought to be preaching is God will bring you under the sound of the gospel rather than a bunch of you've got to's.
Yeah, that's right.
Show me in this book where it says you've got to be under the sound of the gospel. I read, you will be.
Yes, sir.
God will bring you. See, that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
The other is man's opinion.
Yeah.
Who was preaching the gospel to Abram over there in the Ur of the Chaldees?
Yeah. That's it.
When he was worshiping the sun and the moon as God. Who brought the news to Rahab the harlot in Jericho?
Yeah.
Huh? It's amazing as you go through Scripture. Our Lord said, remember one time some people were crying out in his honor.
Yeah.
Somebody told him, tell them to hush up. And he says, if these keep silence,
yeah. The
stones will cry out.
Yeah.
God will get his word to his people.
Yes, sir.
But he don't need me to do it. He don't need you to do it. The thing about it is we ought to see the privilege of him using us to speak the gospel, the truth of the person and work of Christ to someone else. This is not something we're doing to get people saved. That's not what we're not preaching, the truth of the person and work of Christ to get people saved. We're preaching the truth of the person and work of Christ that he has saved some people. And when it comes your time for conversion, God will let you know about it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He'll bring it to your attention.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make you concerned.
Yes, sir.
Now let me just move on, and here's a third one. Or fourth one, actually. False doctrine, when speaking of the state of fallen man's will, especially in connection with his ability to come to Christ, False doctrine will quote Revelations 22, verse 17, rather than our Lord's own words, John 6, verses 44 and 45. Now again, I ask the question, which one is true? Well, they both are. But if you take what some men say, what they call the truth, what they preach, their doctrine, the way they teach it, one's got to be true and the other's got to be a lie.
Exactly.
I take God's word to be true rather than man's opinion about it or his interpretation of it.
Yes.
Both must be true. They must sit down side by side, agreed.
Yes, sir.
Because even Paul wrote, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything, for all those different areas. Now look at it, Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Yes, sir.
And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And then here's the key phrase. And here it is. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Now that is true.
Yes, sir.
But most people have been so brainwashed in Sunday schools and in false assemblies and under the false gospel and under false doctrine that when they hear whosoever will, rather than thinking whosoever will, they think that means everybody can.
Exactly.
That's what they say. I believe in whosoever will. Anybody who's read the Bible that believes it's even halfway true would believe that's probably true.
Yeah.
Whosoever will. But rather than quoting, well, I believe in whosoever will, they say, well, I believe everybody can. Now, does the scripture teach that everybody can? No, Christ said no man can except.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, bear with it. No man can.
Exactly.
So whosoever will doesn't mean everybody can.
That's right. That's it.
It can't mean that, right?
Yeah.
Whosoever will simply means that. Whosoever will. I think it was Henry Mahan said one time, what about the whosoever wants?
That's right.
They never talk about them. Because they actually believe whosoever will is some allowance by God to them to say, well, everybody can. They just won't.
Yeah.
Or everybody could if they willed to. Well, you're starting to get there a little bit.
Yeah.
And our Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can come except.
Amen.
Except what? Except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So what's a false teacher do? I believe that. Now is he going to come right out and say, I don't believe that? Huh? Is that what he's going to say? No. Most of, now there may be a few in our day, and there have been those, Earl, there have been always been those in the past, but there's so many, much more of us, so many more humans now, and men are far more proud now, that pride's so far evident, that there are some who come right out and say, we don't believe this is the Word of God. Now, they still claim to be believers in God and, you know, and all that love and, you know, church and all this. But, you know, the Bible's not really dependable. There's no real truth there. There are a few crazies like that. But when you ask the false prophet, that one that's the deceitful worker, and when you ask him, when Christ said, no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him, do you believe that? And he'll say, yeah, I believe that. He said, but I also know that Christ said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Huh? See, that's his quote.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is wrongly dividing the word of truth.
Exactly.
Now, let's look at the context of what our Lord said. This is John chapter 6. Verse 44 and verse 45. Now there's a whole lot more here, but I just want to get to the gist of the context.
Mm-hmm.
No man can come to me, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. They all who?
Yeah.
All who? All that the Father has given him, you see, all in this context. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath learned, that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Everyone.
Amen.
So is there ever anyone that God the Father tries to draw to Christ that doesn't make it to Christ?
No.
Exactly. Because Christ said so.
That's it.
These false teachers fluff through that. And run over to John 12, where what Christ was saying was not, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw every single individual unto me.
Yeah.
That's not what he meant. Will draw all men, that is what Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, bond and free, male and female. That's what he meant. These liars use the Bible to try to prove their own point, rather than preaching what the Scriptures teach. Every man's capable of it, because every man has that old evil, wicked rebellion against God in him. But some people are enabled through the Spirit of God and through God's work of regeneration and conversion, they're enabled to seek the truth of God as it is revealed in God's Word. It's all right for you and I to talk about what we think or how we feel. It's all right. But we must both be able to agree, if we're to have any sense of fellowship, that the ultimate source of anything right or wrong is right here.
That's it.
And what I think or how I feel or even how I believe has no basis for me to get all in a wad about unless it's right here in this book. Right?
That's it.
Because after all, if it's not in this book, it's my opinion. And I could say something about opinions, but it's not appropriate, so I won't. Now, let me just say that this thing, when it comes to the ability of the human will, there are those groups that try to say that human will is independent of anything else man is. They'll preach, we know that, Earl or Joe, we believe the heart's desperately wicked above all things. And we believe that, you know, if a man's accustomed to do evil, can he do good? And I'm putting it in my own language, and the Scripture answers it, no. The Ethiopian cannot change his skin, and the leopard cannot change his spots. And they say, well, we believe that, but the will is separate from the heart and the ability, all of these things. We don't believe man's able to save himself, but we believe that he can will to be saved. So again, I say false doctrine when speaking of the state of fallen man's will and his ability to come to Christ, quotes Revelation 22:17, and it perverts it, but they just quote it. They quote, whosoever will. John 3:16, whosoever will. They quote Scripture rather than seeking what Scripture teaches. And Scripture teaches, no man can come unto me except.
Amen.
It goes on so far, our Lord goes on so far as to say in verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
Amen.
Somebody saying, in other words, you're saying God don't let some people come? I'm saying God doesn't give it to them to come. That's what the Scripture says. He doesn't give it to them.
That's
and that's his business.
Yes, sir.
That's what grace really is.
Yeah.
Grace is not an offer. It's a gift.
Yes.
Yes.
Grace is not what God wants to do. It's who God is.
Amen.
He will be gracious to somebody. You know, free will religion basically has God engaged in the biggest lottery there ever was.
Yeah.
Right? He spun the wheel in hopes of getting the big payoff. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a lottery. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
God's purpose ain't no crapshoot.
That's right.
Most of the time you can tell the difference between them. Not always. I'm not saying this is some telltale word, but most of the time they'll talk about God's plan, not his purpose.
Yeah.
God's got a wonderful plan for your life. All right, let's read about some folks here. God's got a wonderful plan for their life.
Yeah.
I think his name is Jude. This is what Jude says.
Yeah.
It's just no chapter there, just the verses. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. And note the order. Bless our hearts, we were preserved in Christ before he even called us.
That's right. Amen.
Now let them Calvinists who teach that you're not one of God's till you start believing what we preach.
Yeah.
It says preserved in Christ Jesus and called. And that's the order.
Yes, sir.
Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude saying, fight for this truth.
Yeah.
Stand up for this truth. Earnestly contend for this truth. Why? For there are certain men crept in unaware. These are these deceitful workers.
Yes, sir.
But look at what it says. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Amen.
God's got a wonderful plan for your life.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Now, these preachers say this to everyone indiscriminately.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you. There are some folks whom God doesn't have a wonderful plan for their life.
That's
right. It says, we're before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Those folks are going to split hell wide open.
Yes, sir.
They're apostate.
That's it.
That's God's wonderful plan for their life.
Exactly.
They're going to get what's coming to them.
Yeah.
No, when it comes to, when we talk about human will, and time is almost up. And let me just, when you hear anyone say, well, I know man's bad, or I know man's dead in trespasses and sins, but he still has a will, a free will. Mm. Now, free means independent. Okay? Not controlled by anything else, right? That's what free means. That's the basis of the so-called doctrine of free will. My heart's fallen. My choices are fallen, but my will is still free. Now, is that what the book of God teaches? Turn to Exodus. Let me find it here. Exodus 35. And I'm just going to hit the high spots here because I don't have time. And a lot of this is, when you see it, you'll understand what I'm saying. Exodus 35. You read this later. Look at it. You will see that Moses now begins to exhort the people to bring all of the goods that it's going to take to build the tabernacle and the sacrificial worship. That's what the tabernacle, the priest's clothes, all the stuff for all of this tabernacle, priestly worship, sacrificial worship. And that's what's described here basically in 35 and 36. It talks about the work being begun. Now look at verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whomsoever is of a what? Willing what?
Heart.
Yes, sir. Now does anybody propose to say that a man could will to come to Christ apart from doing it in his heart as well? Huh?
That's it.
You know, Let me just go on. Look, a willing heart. Let him bring it an offering unto the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. And he goes on and explains these things. There's all these different articles. Look at verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing.
Amen.
Now, if a man's going to say that a man has a free will, then his spirit's still got to be free, and his heart's still got to be free. Because his will is connected both to his heart and his spirit.
Yes, sir.
Right? So when they say, I believe the heart's desperately wicked, but man has a free will, what he's saying is, it's not really that bad.
Exactly.
I mean, some of them really, you know, sometimes God looses their tongue and they say what they really mean.
No, yeah.
One guy's told another preacher, a preacher who tries to preach grace, and he told him, well, you know, and he said, but the scripture says we are dead in trespasses and in sins. It's what the grace preacher was standing for. And the other guy said, well, but what we got to figure out is just how dead is man really?
Yeah.
You want to beat your head against the wall. Dead is dead.
It's pretty dead.
It's just like pregnant is pregnant. You know? You're not almost pregnant. You either are or you're not.
Yeah.
You're not almost dead. You know, you're either dead or not dead. One or the other. Half dead. There is such a thing as half dead. Our Lord said that the guy that beat the guy and threw him over in the ditch left him half dead. So there's something that's like half dead. But half dead doesn't mean dead.
Right?
Because our Lord said half dead. Scripture doesn't say we're half fallen in trespasses and sins. It doesn't say we're half dead in trespasses and sins. It says we're dead dead. We've made it past halfway. That's the truth of Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Look at another verse. We looked at 21, verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought their bracelets, their earrings, and all of these things. Go on down, verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring these things.
That's right.
Verse 31, look at it a bit. Look, verse 35, read that one. Chapter 36, verse 1 and 2, read that. We cannot say the will is free. When a man says, I believe in the freedom of the human will, he's a blessed liar. No, he's an unblessed liar. He's a liar. The will is not free.
Amen.
It's bound to the heart and the spirit. And what does the book say about that?
Exactly.
So there's the establishment of it in Scripture. That settles it. So I'm done for now.